بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدى هدى نبينا محمد بن عبد الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، in regard to the topic Islam's solution to the problem and the issue of racism, a lot can be said. It's an extremely important topic. And I do recognize that we have Muslims and non-Muslims alike in the audience. So I'm going to try to give a presentation, inshallah, that's going to be balanced. It's from the Islamic perspective, but at the same time, it's an encouragement and an invitation to people who are not Muslims to look into the religion of Islam. And before I begin, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, and take advantage of this opportunity to remember that these days that we're in right now, the days of Dhul Hijjah, they are days that we cannot afford to allow them to go without getting optimum benefit from them. And what we're doing right now in presenting this type of lecture, da'wah, nasiha, and zikr, you coming, trying to get knowledge, sharing, and fraternalizing between ourselves from the best ibadat. Before I deliver my lecture, I just want to remind all of you of the importance of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. We've already passed the halfway point. We have about 4 more days remaining, inshallah. Take advantage of those days. They're the best days in the dunya. So reading the Quran, making the salat, doing the different ibadat of Islam, that's what we should engage ourselves in. Fasting, and other than that, especially the fast of the day of Arafat, which is going to be, inshallah, this year on Sunday. In regard to the issue of Islam, its solution to the problem of racism, as Muslims, we believe that the Quran and the authentic Sunnah and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they have the answers to all of the issues that confront human beings. The issue of the economical problems that the dunya and the world are experiencing right now, we have to believe, and we do believe, that the Quran and the Sunnah addresses those issues and they solve the problems of those issues. And I think that the university, you brothers, should put on some presentation about that and bring the qualified people to show how Al-Islam, Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah, addresses that. All of the issues that we find in the mass media today that people preoccupy themselves with, the Quran and the Sunnah addresses all of those issues completely, totally, exactly. Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Most High, is mentioned in the Quran in a number of verses. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He told the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, we have revealed to you the book, the Quran, and it explains everything. He mentioned in another ayat of the Quran, and there are so many, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. We've explained everything in perfect detail. Our Nabi and our Rasul, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, not unlike any other prophet, any other messenger who came to their people. When they came to their people, they came to their people with the message that the people needed to hear and to have to solve all their problems. So this issue of racism has been addressed in the religion of Al-Islam, the Prophet of Al-Islam. So the individual who wants to be a racist, the Muslim, or the individual who is looking inside of Al-Islam, if he looks inside of this religion and he's fair and he's just, we want to find that Islam has addressed the issue of racism and took it by the horns and met it head on, and it made it something that amazes him. No one could come after reading the sources of the Quran and the Sunnah and then claim that the religion of Al-Islam helps to perpetuate or encourage racism. Whereas the other religions, they can't say that. I can't say that. One of the reasons why I embrace the religion of Al-Islam is because it answers this question of racism to me and for me. Someone may be able to bring the Bible, he may be able to bring the Torah or any other religious book, and he can make the ta'wil and the tafsir, explanation of a verse here, verse there in those books. But whatever verse that you bring is going to be a ta'wil that's out of its place. And whatever person says, you can always show it, and it may be during the Q&A session, this will come forward. You can always show how there's not only racism in the other religions, but there's institutionalized racism. Now, I'm not sitting here and I'm not saying that there's not racism within the Muslims. No, I'm going to tell you that the Muslims are some of the most racist people that I met. They're some of the most racist people that I met. And as we sit here and I see you brothers, you sisters, you come from different parts of the world. We have Arabs, we have Africans. You yourself, you know that inside of our cultures and where we come from, as people, we're racist. Some of our countries at this very moment, they have been ripped apart as a result of racism. Somalia, for an example. Somalians can't get along. Iraq, this whole issue of the sectarian issues that are going on between them. Muslims are some of the racist people on the planet. And our Prophet told us that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ مِّنْ أَمُورِ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ لَنْ تَتْرُكُهَا أُمَّتِي أَبَدًا الْفَخْرِ فِي الْآبَاءِ وَالْطَعْنِ فِي الْأَنْسَابِ وَالنِّيَاحَ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. There are three things that my ummah لَنْ تَتْرُكَهَا أَبَدًا. My ummah will never discard them, will never leave them. And one thing is that the people from this ummah will always brag about where they come from, their lineage, their forefathers, their heritage. They'll always talk bad about other people and sad their lineage. And our ummah will always wail when there's a death, someone dies. We'll always have individuals from this ummah, and it's prevalent that they wail, they rip their clothes off, and they act in a way that's inappropriate. All of those are from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah. So I'm not claiming here that Muslims are not racist. The religion of al-Islam does not call to racism. The religion of al-Islam has dealt with and addressed crystal clearly the issue of racism. And before I deal with the solution that Islam has given the problem of racism, I just want to share with you a few things from the religion, a few points of how Islam dealt with the issue of racism. And there are many, but I'll only deal with four or five. First of all, Islam dealt with the issue of racism in that it has clearly established that all of mankind, everyone sitting here and everyone who has visited this planet from the human beings and everyone who's going to come, all of the people are from one single source. And that single source is Adam. Adam and his wife Eve. We're not by ourselves and believing that. Christians believe that. Jews believe that. But in terms of the Christians and the Jews, they've added on to the situation issues that we don't believe. And there are many issues that they don't know about that we do believe in, that have come to us from the Quran and the Sunnah. So one of the ways that Islam has dealt with the issue of racism is by letting everyone know we all come from the same source. We all originate from the same mother and the same father. Allah mentioned in the Quran, in a number of ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. O mankind, fear your Lord, O mankind. Not ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you. Created you from a single soul, Adam, first man created. And from that soul created his mate, Eve. And from those two, he scattered forth many men and many women. So no one can come and say now in the religion of Islam that here's an individual, I'm better than him because he comes from a different source. Our origin is the same. As a result of that, everyone in terms of his color, everyone in terms of his ethnic background, we all are sharing, for the most part, that source. There's something else I want to mention in this regard because it's connected to these days in Muslims, the days of good teachers. Another item of the Quran that's very important is imperative. How many of you with a show of hands have performed Hajj or Umrah? You performed Hajj or Umrah, stand up. That's that king. Allah helped them to perform Hajj and Umrah. Help them to go to Hajj and Umrah. I think every time I ask that question, there are only a great minority of people put their hands up. There's an ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 172. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this regard, everyone coming from the same thought, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمٍ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. And remember, the Quran said, and remember when your Lord took from Adam his descendants, and he spread them out, and he caused them to bear witness upon themselves, and he said to them, am I not your Lord? All of them said, yes, we bear witness to this. Allah said, so that you won't come Yawm al-Qiyamah on the last day, and you say, I have no knowledge of this. This ayah, or this verse that's in the Quran, deals with the issue of racism, and it deals with something that we're dealing with during these days right now. That is, when Allah created Adam, the first man, the Prophet told us that Allah took all of Adam's children from the loins of Adam and he placed them at a place called Nu'man. And Nu'man is another place for Arafah. And then he said to them when he placed them there, am I not your Lord? They all said, we bear witness that you are our Lord. They bore witness to La ilaha illallah. He said, so that you won't come Yawm al-Qiyamah and say, I had no knowledge of this. This verse of the Quran establishes, along with his explanation from the Hadith, that Allah took all of Adam's children, the black from them, the white from them, the Arab, the non-Arab, the men, the women, all of them, and he caused them to bear witness to La ilaha illallah at the mountain of Arafah. So even if an individual hasn't performed Hajj or Umrah, he at one point in his creation has been to Arafah. And that's one of the reasons why fasting on the day of Arafat is imperative. And that's another proof that goes to show that the origin of the people, and all of them come from Adam, the origin is that they believe in one God. That's how Allah Ta'ala created the people. So the point is, everyone comes from one source. You know, no group of people can claim that they have a different source. All human beings come from Adam. Second issue of how Al-Islam addressed the problem of racism is that it made it clear in this religion that there's no superiority to any given race over another race. Other religions can't say that. Other religions can't say that. It is established in other religions that there is superiority for some races over other races. And some people use that to oppress people who are not from that race. How did Al-Islam make this point? In so many verses of the Quran, and well, in the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. From those verses and from those issues, is that the Prophet of Al-Islam, he told the people, there is no superiority for the Arab over the non-Arab. And there's no superiority for the black person over the white person. He said, all of you are from Adam, and Adam is from the dirt, and the taqwa, or the fear of Allah, is right here. In another ayah of the Quran, he said that he made us nation and tribe so that we would get to know one another, and not that we may despise one another, and that the most virtuous ones, the most religious ones, the best ones from amongst you, are the ones who have the most taqwa. وَإِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best one from amongst you, the one who his creed is the best, his conduct, his character is the best. Has nothing to do with a person's color and has nothing to do with a person's sex. Has nothing to do with the fact that she may be a woman and as a result of that, she's in lesser degree in terms of her standing and her position in the religion or with Allah than the man. So Al-Islam addressed the issue that there is no superiority of one group of people over another group of people. Thirdly, and Islam addressed the issue of the problem of racism, and that the color that people get caught up into and they get bent out of shape as a result of that. A white person's been created white and he thinks that he's better than someone who's darker than him. person is a black supremacist. I know black supremacist. He thinks because of his color, he'll come up with all kinds of rationale and reasons why, because of his color, he's better than people who are of lighter pigmentation than him. Even in the countries where we come from, the people can be from the same tribe. They're from the same tribe. But the ones who are lighter than the other ones, they tend to think that they're better than the ones who are of darker complexion. Al-Islam addressed this issue. Show the people, your colors are insignificant in the religion. Your colors are a sign from the majesty of the Creator. Allah mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَوْ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, from the signs of Allah, from His many signs, the signs of the presence and the power and the ability of Almighty Allah is the creation of the heavens and the earth, the sign. None of us created the heavens, none of us created the earth. None of us can do anything about altering His creation in terms of right now making the sun come out, making the sun come up. No one has the ability to do all of that. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, there are signs. And also, in your tongues and in your colors, there are signs. So the people's different colors and the people's different signs, they had nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with who's better or who's worse. In regards to people's colors, in Al-Islam, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُورِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِلَى أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Al-Islam addressed the issue of your color. He said that Allah does not look at your color. He doesn't look at your shape. This one is tall, that one is short. This one is fat, and that one is skinny. The woman is a man. Allah doesn't look at that. Nor does He look at how much money you have. This one is rich, that one is poor. He doesn't look at that. That's not considered. But Allah looks at your heart, your intention. What was your intention? And did you have the ikhlas? And He looks at your actions. Were your actions in accordance to what was legislated, the Kitab and the Sunnah, and the way the companions used to practice those two sources? In regards to people's languages as well, as Muslims, we have to believe, ikhwani, brothers, sisters, our guests, our friends, that people's languages as well. It is a fact that as a Muslim, a revert Muslim, who's a non-Arab, I have to look at the Arabic speaking person, and I'm talking about the real Arabic, not colloquial Arabic. The one who has been blessed with the Arabic tongue, yes, he has some virtues. Because he knows the language of the Quran. It's his mother tongue. But just because he has an Arabic tongue doesn't necessarily make him a better person than me if he's not practicing the religion. Your language has nothing to do with your position with Allah, whether you speak English or other than that. Yawm al-Qiyamah, people are going to come and they have different languages. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَسَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجَمَةٍ. There's not a single person except that. When you come يوم القيامة, Allah is going to talk to you. Allah is going to ask you questions. Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Who created you? So why didn't you do this? But why didn't you do that? You're going to be asked about Salah. You're going to be asked about Hijab. You're going to be asked about Zulm. You're going to be asked, what did you do about the poor? You're going to be asked about what image did you give about Al-Islam. You're going to be asked, what did you do with this gift of life? And there won't be between you and Allah a translator. Why would Allah Almighty need a translator? He doesn't need a translator because He is the Lord of all of the languages. So the point that we're trying to make here is Al-Islam addressed the issue of racism by making it perfectly clear, crystal clear, that no one is superior over another person due to the fact that that individual has a particular color or a particular language, even the Arab. Those hadith that say things like, speak Arabic or learn Arabic because the kalam, the speech of the people of Jannah is Arabic, fabricated.
Those hadiths say things like, love the Arabs because I'm an Arab, fabricated. There are some Arabs in the world today who are the biggest criminals. There are Arabs in the world today who are people who are from the lowly and the despised, and non-Arabs who are some worthy people of virtue and other than that. So the color, as well as a person's language, has nothing to do with anything. Lastly, and there are many issues that we can share in terms of how al-Islam dealt with the issue of racism, but how did the religion of al-Islam address racism? Religion of al-Islam addressed the issue of racism by giving us a number of texts, nusus, from the Quran and the Sunnah, that clearly says this is something that's impermissible. When I was a non-Muslim, when I was a Christian, I started to search for the truth and the reality of Christianity. Not being a Christian as many of my relatives were and many people, you are born in a religion and you just take it for granted, I'm supposed to be this way and I'm this way. But you don't make an effort to academically and scholastically try to find out about the religion, historically what happened. So when I embarked upon that journey, I found that the issue of racism wasn't being dealt with. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned, there was institutionalized racism, historical racism. If you go to the black church in America, the churches that I attended, you will see in the church there are images and pictures of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the angels, Gabriel, Michael, other than them, Moses, Abraham, all of the prophets, all of the angels. They're always depicted as being individuals who are white, although historically that's not true. Even from the Bible itself, it's not true. Historically, geographically, it's not true. But those were the images that we were given. And then when you look at what happened with my people, specifically African Americans, when they went 400 years ago and they took our forefathers from West Africa, from different parts, many of them were Muslims, we were force-fed. We were made to become Christians, forced into al-Islam. And given a religion that told us, I'm not saying this is what you believe if you're a Christian, but this is what happened in the African-American experience. We were given a religion that told us, look, you people are slaves, remain slaves, you're going to get your pie in the sky, your paradise, when you die, you go to Jannah. But the slave master, his religion was the religion that we believed in. So when I started to aggressively try to find out what are the answers to this issue of racism, because let's face it again, coming from America, I come from an environment that is extremely racist. Extremely racist. The pathetic situation that took place in Louisiana with the Hurricane Katrina, where America's disenfranchised, their downtrodden, their poor, were left for dead, is a classic example of contemporary racism. People were left like that for no other reason other than the color of their skin. American government left them like that. Yes, it's a fact. Obama, he won now. It's phenomenal. I have to say that. It's phenomenal. But we have to stay in the middle course. I heard some Muslims say, Obama is a Muslim. Not only is he a Muslim, Obama is the Mahdi. The Mahdi is going to come and fill up the earth with al-adl, after it has been filled up with oppression and zulm and joy. That's ghulu. And it's kedah. And muhim, the important thing, and the point that I want to make here, is in regard to my personal experience in trying to get the issues of racism answered when I was a Christian. I didn't find that there were clear texts from the Bible saying racism is impermissible. Al-Islam addressed the issue of racism in that it took the issue by the horns, head on, and it made it clear so that anyone who's a Muslim, you can never come and be a racist and use this religion. Never. Let us look at a few of those texts, and they are so many. And that in the justice of the Prophet of Al-Islam, he has a companion by the name of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. He was from the original Arabs. His tribe, al-Ghaffar, originally, Arab al-Asil. They were the real, true, 100% Arabs. Abu Dharr, he got into an argument with another companion, Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal was from Al-Habasha, from Abyssinia, Ethiopia, from that area. He was black. And Abu Dharr was an Arab. They got into a misunderstanding. Abu Dharr said to Bilal, Ya bin imra'ati sawda, you son of a black lady. I guess it's his equivalent to the word, you nigger. You nigger. Ya bin imra'ati sawda, you son of a black lady. Putting him down. They got into an argument. Bilal, when he told the Prophet of Islam, Abu Dharr said this to me, Ya Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, Abu Dharr, did you say that to him? He said, yes, I was angry. The Messenger of Allah said to Abu Dharr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, Ya Aba Dharr, atta'iruhu, atta'iruhu, bi ummi, innaka mri'un bika jahiliya. Abu Dharr, do you abuse this man by slighting his mother? You are a person of jahiliya. You are a person that has some jahiliya in you. Jahiliya are the pre-Islamic times. The things that happened before the Quran coming down. The things that Al-Islam came to eradicate, to make it haram. And I advise you to get the book, Masail al-Jahiliya, by Shaykh Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Those things that the people of Jahiliya used to do, that Al-Islam came to get rid of those things. And one of the things that was mentioned, racism, al-Asabiyya. So here we have a clear example of the Prophet of Al-Islam, the representative of this religion, having one of his close companions who made a lot of tremendous sacrifices for the Messenger of Allah and for Islam. But when he said something that was racist, he stopped him in his tracks. So now if a person is a racist, this text, this nuff can be used to say Al-Islam has addressed the issue of racism. Show me another book where it said that in the book, that racism is not permissible. Give me an example of that. Now, I can give you some examples in the book where it would appear that that prophet of that book was supporting racism. Another example of the clear text, and there are so many, is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, لَيَدَعَنَّ رِجَالٌ فَخْرَهُمْ بِأَقْوَامٍ هُمْ فَهْمٌ مِنْ فَهْمِ جَهَنَّمْ أَوْ لَيَكُنُنَّ أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجِعْلَانِ أَلَّتِي تَدْفَعُ بِأَنْفِهَا النَّسِمْ. If you people, a group of you, if you don't stop bragging about people who are occupants of the hellfire, meaning your forefathers from a long time ago who didn't even believe in Allah, they died as polytheists, and you're bragging about where you come from and your lineage. I'm from this tribe, I'm from that tribe. If you go back and you find the beginning of that tribe, the person was a non-Muslim, for an example, they didn't believe in Islam. So they used to brag about that. The Prophet said, if you people don't stop doing that, bragging out about people who are fuel for the fire, then these people are going to become more insignificant to Allah than the Jirlan. The Jirlan is an insect of the desert. His job is that he gets behind the dung of the donkey, the dung of the cow, the dung of the camel, and he just pushes it around in the desert. That's the Hamid Hamidi. That's what he does. He just pushes the dung around to show how insignificant and irrelevant it is where you come from in this regard. So the people who brag like that, this example was given, and this is the balagha or the eloquence of Abu Qasim al-Mustafa al-Amin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't stop doing that, then you will become lesser in degree in the sight of Allah than this particular lowly insect. That's a clear way of the Messenger of Allah giving us a text showing that no one can use racism or color as a weapon against someone else. Another example, and as I mentioned, there are quite a few. From the examples that we have in the authentic Sunnah, is the hadith of the Prophet, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ أَذْهَبَ عَنْكُمْ رُبِيَّةِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَفَخْرَهَا بِالْآبَادِ الرَّجُلْ مُؤْمِنْ تَقِي أَوْ فَاجِرٌ شَقِي. Allah has taken away from you, He has made it impermissible for you to continue to brag like you brag during the times of Jahiliyyah. The people of two types. Either a person has taqwa,
and he'll be successful, will be happy, or the individual will be a tragic, an individual who is lowly, wretched, and he will be unhappy. So those are some of the texts that we have clearly telling us the impermissibility of this call of the times of Al-Jahili. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ شَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ أَوْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودِ أَوْ دَعَ فِي دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ He is not from us. He's not from the Muslims. The individual who, when someone dies, sister, when someone dies, he rips open the clothes, they wail, they slap each other in the face, and they call the calling of a Jahiliyyah. I'm from this tribe, I'm from that tribe. So how does Al-Islam address the issue of racism? How does Al-Islam address the issue of racism? At the top of the list, in addressing the issue of racism, at the top of the list, is that Al-Islam, when we look at the Quran and we look at the authentic Sunnah and the way of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Islam encourages people to come to know who Allah is, who God is, who is the true God. If God happens to be a human being, or if he has a son who is a human being, then whatever ethnic background that human being happened to be from, then those individuals have been chosen divine. So for an example, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If for a minute I want to entertain that. If Jesus Christ, for an example, was the Son of God, then whatever his ethnic background was, in this case the reality is he was a Hebrew, he was a Jewish person, then the Jewish people have every right to have a sense of pride because God did not choose Africans, he did not choose Italian people, he didn't choose any other ethnic group other than that ethnic group. So people have to come to know who the true God is. And the true God, once a person knows who he is, then he'll know who he is, the individual. If you as a human being, son of Adam, daughter of Adam, if you know who Allah is, your creator, then you're going to know yourself. People who don't know who Allah is, they don't know themselves. They're either mutakabbir, or they see themselves smaller than their reality. But when you know who Allah is, the true creator, you know your position. The one who knows who God is, the real God, he doesn't find himself being arrogant. He's not arrogant because he knows that there is one who is stronger than him, there is one who created him. Whatever he's arrogant about, it was given to him by Allah. That's why one of the names of Allah is Al-Mutakabbir. So he doesn't challenge Allah in that characteristic. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana fi qalbihi mithqal dharratin min kibr lan yadkhul al-jannah. Whoever has one atom's weight of kibr, this is a dot, he won't enter into the paradise. Because kibr, arrogance, is from the characteristics of God. He's arrogant in that. Arrogant and kibr, not in the negative sense. Arrogant in that no one should challenge God Almighty and make claims like they're the creator, they deserve to be worshipped, they're the ones who give life, they give death, they're the ones who provide. So if the individual knows who Allah is, who God is, he'll come to know his own reality. And this is what happened with our brother who preceded us, Malcolm X. Malcolm X was a black supremacist. We have white supremacists. If you were to ask the white supremacists or the black supremacists, how would you solve the race problem? They would say just exterminate the other group. That doesn't make sense. It's something that's difficult and is oppressive. What's the crime of a child being born a color opposite of yours? Why would he be exterminated? Malcolm X, when he was with the Nation of Islam, and they had nothing to do with the religion of Islam, real Islam, they used reverse psychology. They saw what happened to black Americans, where our self-esteem was taken away from us, the problems that happened in society. So they came and said, black people were better than white people. White people are devils. Black people, they are the people who want to go to paradise. God is black. The messenger of Allah is black. All of the prophets were black. They did the reverse psychology of Christianity.
Malcolm X used to believe in him. He went around America calling to them. But when he went to Hajj, and he performed Hajj, as you all know, he said in his book that he went to sleep in the tent. And when they turned all of the lights off and the people were snoring, he said, it dawned on me that all of the people were snoring in the same language. I didn't have the ability to distinguish the white man snoring from the black man. He said, that sent home to me a lesson. And that lesson is the universality of Al-Islam. No one has authority over anyone else in this religion. No one has authority over anyone else in the life. So when the person knows Allah, when he knows who is creating, he also doesn't allow people to tell him, you can't do it. You'll never be successful. As Muslims, we look around the globe, we look at Palestine, we look at Iraq, we look at Somalia, we look at Sudan, Kashmir. We have a lot of problems as an ummah. A lot of problems. I want to make a twofold point. We have a lot of problems. If you know Allah, you'll never say we can't do it. Just as the light of Islam wasn't extinguished back then, when the Muslims were the minority, in a hostile environment, they couldn't extinguish the light of Islam, now it's going to be extinguished now. The deen of Allah is with us. And it's going to be vibrant over every other deen. If you know Allah, but if you don't know Allah, then you do what the Iraqi leaders and politicians are doing, when they just sell their people and they agree to all kinds of things just because they're afraid of the future. The other point that I want to note, that I want to mention in this regard about knowing Allah and the person not making himself successful, he doesn't make himself lesser and lower than what he really deserves to be. That plenty in the religion, brothers, sisters, friends, in the religion of Islam, the religion of Islam, the concept of not being able to do, I can't do, when you believe in the one true God, you know that anything is possible. This is one of the reasons why someone who may be a secular thinker and he doesn't believe in religion, he may look at people who believe in religion and say, you know, those guys are fanatical and crazy and backwards. How can they believe these things that Allah took from Adam's loins all of his children before they were created and put them at a mountain before they were created? That person who thinks that way, he finds those stories like fairy tales, stories like the Rumpelstiltskin and Goldilocks and those kinds of stories. But the one who has belief in the power and ability of Allah Almighty knows that this is something that is not only possible, but he has no doubt that it happened. Has no doubt that it happened. So if a person wants to deal with the issue of how does Islam address the issue of racism, then Islam says, know your Lord, you'll come to know yourself, and as a result of knowing yourself, you'll know that no one else is better than you or worse than you as a result of your color. Another thing I want to bring to your attention in this regard is this hadith. The Prophet told us about the angels and about the jinn. خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ وَخُلِقَتِ الْجَانُ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ وَخُلِقَ آدَمُ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَهُ. The angels have been created from light. The angels. Some of us may believe that Prophet Muhammad was created from the light of Allah. That's not true. That's not true. The Prophet was a human being. He was a human being. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Tell them, Muhammad, I'm a human being just like you. So the way we grow up, we get these false concepts. The angels have been created from light. And the jinn have been created from a smokeless fire. Not just a fire, a smokeless fire. A special kind of fire. And Adam has been created from what has been described to you, meaning the dirt. Know Allah, you'll know yourself. A person who knows Allah knows that Allah created the angels, and the angels are created from light. They have so many abilities. When Jibril used to come to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he would come in different forms. He came one time, 600 wings that extended to the east and the west. He was powerful. The angels that were going to take the mountain and smash the people of Quraysh were the enemies of Al-Islam. Powerful. the angels that came to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah when they were practicing them, they were practitioners of homosexuality and ill acts. They were destroyed by those malaika who took the earth with the wing and put the land upside down. I believe that. Powerful. So the person who's a human being, he knows Allah, he sees himself as being insignificant. What are you proud about? In comparison to Allah's creation, the malaika, what are you proud of? The angels, the jinn. Even men, I know, when you don't know Allah, you hear noise, the sisters in the house, you hear a noise, you become afraid of the jinn. Jinn can't help you, jinn can't hurt you, except if Allah wants it to happen. But the jinn, they do have some powers and they do have ability, created from a smokeless fire. We weren't created from a smokeless fire. When Shaitan refused to bow down to Adam and he said, you created me from fire, you created him from dirt, there was some truth to that. Fire is a bit more fearsome than dirt. Some truth to that. There's a wajh muqtasad in the kalam of Shaitan. But what made Adam better than Shaitan, what made him better than Shaitan was, Allah created Adam with his own hand. And he created Shaitan by saying, kun, be, and he became. There are only four things that Allah created with his own hand. He said to Shaitan, مَا مَلَأَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What prevented you from bowing down to the one I created with my own hand? That's why he was told to bow down. But Shaitan, being created from fire, made him arrogant. He has a point of view. Fire is better, stronger, more awesome than the dirt, than the mud, than the clay. But the thing that made him better than you, Shaitan, is the fact that Allah created him with his own hand. Him, along with three other things, and Allah told you to bow down, so you should listen. So the point is, if a person knows Allah, he'll know his reality. You're not like the angels, you're not like the malaika. You get old, you get fat, you lose weight, you stress out, you sweat, you sleep, you lose your teeth. All kind of things happen. Malaika are not like that. They're not prone to that. Second thing, in terms of Islam addressing the issue of racism, how does Islam solve the problem? Tell the people to follow Prophet Muhammad. And not only follow Prophet Muhammad, but to follow his companions as well as an example. And that's for a number of reasons. Number one, Muhammad was sent to all of the people. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We sent you to all of the people. White, black, Arab, non-Arab, jinn, and all of the people. Moses, he didn't come to all of the people. He came to Bani Israel, the Hebrews. Jesus didn't come to all of the people. So the people would say, Jesus died for your sins. God sent his only son to die for the sin. According to the Bible, Jesus said, I've been sent to the lost tribe of Israel. What I've been sent for. That's who I came to get, and that's what we believe as Muslims, that he's from Bani Israel. Muhammad has been sent to all of the people. And when he came to all of the people, his companions were different. The people he came to. You have Abu Bakr, who was an Arab, Abu Dharr, Arab, Abu Huraira, Arab, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Arab, all of those Arabs. Umar, Ali, Uthman, Arab. And then you had non-Arabs as well. Bilal, Ethiopian. Salman al-Farisi, a Persian. Suhaib al-Rumi, who was from Rome. We even had people who were from the Hebrew background, like Abdullah ibn Salam, like his wife, Sophia bin Zufayn. Now the point why I'm mentioning this is, you have a practical example of the Khwani brothers and sisters in the way they embraced Islam and the way they acted, showing us how racism was eradicated and dealt with during that time in our age. It was dealt with. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He told the companions, remember when you were enemies one to another. They used to hate each other. Especially in Al-Medina. There were two tribes in Al-Medina. One tribe was the Al-Awf, and the other tribe was the Khazraj, and they constituted the Ansar. Before Islam, before Muhammad came, They used to fight each other over a horse race. A horse race that took place 200 years ago. 200 years ago.
Before the people led the horse race, their tribe won in the horse race. So he would get in an argument with one of those people and say, "That's why my great-great-grandfather beat your great-great-grandfather in the horse race."
And they would start fighting over a horse race and they would lose their lives. Because of a divorce that took place 100 years ago. They were married, man from this tribe to woman from that tribe. Two people would get upset with each other. You'll say, "That's why my grandfather divorced your great-great-great-grandmother a long time ago." And they would start fighting over a divorce. When Prophet Muhammad came, this was their condition. And he came with the religion of Al-Islam, and those people became brothers one to another. Although they used to have that thing in them that divided them. So Allah Ta'ala mentions a number of ayat to this reality. وَالَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If you were to spend all of the money in the world in order to unite people just for the sake of unity, you'll never be able to do it. People of different political parties, the Labor Party, Republicans, Democrats, whatever their agenda is, you always want to find people disagreeing with people from their own party because that's the nature of human beings. You're going to kill them. So when the people practiced the religion correctly, they were able to get beyond these issues that separated them, that were based upon racism and ethnic background, cultural status, economic status, other than that. And it was the religion of Islam that allowed them to do that. So now, you have 15 minutes to answer some of the questions that you brothers and sisters may have, me and our guests, our visitors, any relationship in regard to the topic, and the issue of resolution to racism.
Do we have any questions from the floor, first of all? There'll be, if you stick your hand up if you have a question, there'll be an individual with a mic coming round. No questions. Yeah, I've got a question. Are there any questions from the floor? Or are there any written questions that anyone wants to send forward? Okay, your thing. At the button, in the red top. Can you repeat the question slowly, please, again? To stop slavery? Or why didn't he order them to? Okay. The question is, why did the Prophet not order the companions to stop slavery right from the beginning as opposed to progressing over time? If there's no racism, that's
My topic is not about slavery, number one, and I don't know of any section where slavery is something that has been ordered to be stopped gradually or other than that. That's number one. Number two, we shouldn't make slavery synonymous with racism in the religion of Islam, because there were different people who were slaves, not all black people were slaves during the time of Prophet Muhammad. The person that I mentioned, Suhaib al-Rumi, he was brought from Rome as a slave. He came from Rome, as well as Bilal, being a black person in that case, Salman al-Farisi, was a slave, not the Muslims obviously, but he was a slave at that time to some of the Arabs who were not Muslims. So slavery and racism are not synonymous in the religion of Islam. And I don't know any sect that came to say that there's some recall of slavery. I don't know anything like that.
Okay, you mentioned that Allah created with His hands. What were the other three things that He created with His hands?
The other three things that Allah created with His hands, created Adam, created the Jannah, created the pen, and He created the Arsh, His throne. Everything else is that kun. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Whenever He wants something to be done, He says, be, and it becomes into existence. So this is part of our aqidah, our ideology. The difference that the Muslim has to see in his ideology is, you cannot believe in anything concerning the ideology, the ghayb and seen, unless there's some proof to allow you to believe in that. I'll give you an example. In relationship to Adam and Eve being created. That's in Christianity, that's in Judaism. But when you have the story about, for example, they went to the apple tree. The Muslims shouldn't believe that, and shouldn't disbelieve it, because in our religion there's no Dalil saying it's an apple tree, for example. So when you find these additions, Adam's son, Habil and Qabil, you don't have any Dalil to say that that's your son. You shouldn't call him that, because there's no Dalil to say that. They're the sons of Adam. So there are many examples of that in relationship to the Aqidah. The Prophet being created from the Nur of Allah, the light of Allah. You can't believe in that if someone doesn't produce some proof for you to support that belief. So in regard to this issue, Allah created four things with His hand. And it shows the sharaf and the izzah of those four things. Adam, the paradise, the pen that wrote everything, and His arsh. Those are the four things. In an authentic hadith. There are a lot of factors and a lot of variables, but the head of the list, at the top of the list, was the racist issue of race. Racism is a good problem. Continues to be a problem in America. It's a problem here as well. In the north, in the south, where you go, some people are a bit more liberal than others. But for me personally, the single most important factor or variable that caused me to become a Muslim was the fact that Islam dealt with this race issue. It allowed me to get in contact and to come in touch with a God that I could relate to. I can't relate to worshiping a God who had a complexion of the people who were oppressing me, oppressed my forefathers, or their oppressors in the world. So as I mentioned, know your Lord, you'll know yourself. If the president of America right now, as they claim, he's a born-again Christian, he had a vision, had an experience, became a born-again Christian. The foreign policy of America in Iraq and other places, the oppression that goes on there, the thievery, killing, the murder, the slaughter of those things. Can you really buy into a person who really knows Allah, knows God, acting in such a way with that type of foreign policy? And on the other hand, Muslims who believe it's permissible to blow up people indiscriminately and just kill innocent people. Their knowledge of Allah, they don't have good knowledge of who Allah is. If that thing that happened in Mumbai turned out to really be Muslim, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe everything the media always has to say. Take my time, get all the facts, and make a decision. If it turned out that those people were Muslims, those are people who don't know Allah. Those are people who don't understand the significance of these days. To stand before Allah Yawm al-Qiyamah as being an individual who killed people the days before the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. No, the person knew Allah. You know Allah. I know Allah. That doesn't mean you won't make sin. We're human beings. We're going to sin. which will make Tawbah and build the nation, the type of sin that you're not going to make. You're not going to just kill people like that, indiscriminately. So for me, it was a racism issue. But there were other factors as well. Al-Islam made sense to me. The God that I saw and understood in Al-Islam, he was easy to worship. It went along with my fitrah, the natural disposition, my intellect. It wasn't difficult for me to comprehend how and why I should worship him. Whereas worshiping a human being who goes to sleep, who was in the mother, in the stomach, in the womb of a lady, who was threatened, who was afraid at times, I don't want to worship something that goes through those, human emotions.
Is there any other questions from the floor?
This has been prophesied, and the same thing that happens in all communities and nations is going to affect the community and the nation. That's what we're doing right now. We're not getting down, not a replica, a good representation of what Islam is all about. So people, they have the right to say, you Muslims, if Muhammad is such a good person, and Islam is such a good religion, then why are you people the way you are? Why do you have all these problems? Answer to that, I want to make it very clear that Muslims are one thing and Islam is another thing. But in saying that, it's still khayr, it's still good in the Muslims. It's still good in the Ummah, and the future for Islam, the future, and Islam is the future. So we have to get back to our religion, that's just the bottom line. If we don't get back to our religion, there are going to be problems. One of the ayahs of the Quran told us, from khayr of medicine for religion. You people, the best woman that is for the people. Why? Because you order what's good and you prevent what's wrong. If we're not doing that, there's going to be problems. And we're not doing that. So we have to get back there. How is that? By going out with the bullhorn and demonstrating al-Islam, al-Khilafah, al-Jihad, al-Jihad. That doesn't change anything. That doesn't change anything. If anything, it may get you in trouble. You want to make some change, so you go to the American Embassy there in London and you put bombs, or what looks like a bomb. Not real bombs. It looks like a bomb and you have a poster saying Islam, Jihad, Jihad, and they take pictures of you and you have to go to jail for 3 years or looking like a terrorist. That's not going to change anything. The way we change is that people individually change their lives. People individually change their minds what they have the ability to do.
Yes, go back to me. Yes, please.
Several of the days that Muslims take, you have some permission that the author of the day is here. And also, I can do the program. And this day is a lot of days to come. And I have to do it. I'm doing an operation, and I used to move up to the whole 90 before the arrival. And I'm doing when I came here, I talked to my friends. They mean that our local mother didn't really move up there for the day. And we lost the doctor, the doctor, the doctor,
Certainly, stating that the best days are Ramadan, that's a statement that has no dalil to it. As a matter of fact, it's mu'arid to the dalil that is true. Prophet al-Islam told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ أَيَامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ بِهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَامِ قِيلَ وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله ثم لم يرجع من ذلك بشيء. He said that there are no days that the good deeds that are done in that day, those days are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. Companion said, even jihad fi sabilillah, we don't apologize for jihad. I don't apologize for jihad in Islam. But the jihad of Islam is the jihad that the ulama of al-Islam are behind. And the hukam of al-Islam will be on. The jihad of al-Islam is not the jihad that Shabab in the cave or over here, unknown people attend this jihad. No. Jihad of al-Islam. He says, even jihad is to be not. A man who makes jihad of Ramadan, reading the Quran in these 10 days, is better than that. A man who makes jihad in the month of Ramadan while he's fasting, coming to a class, giving dawah in these days, is better than that. Making the zikr of Allah is better than making jihad in the month of Ramadan. With the exception of a man who made jihad in other than these 10 days, he got the shahada. He went out with his body, with his person, his money, and then he got shahada. Now that's better. So that goes to show that these are the best 10 days. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ آيَانِ أَعْظُمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْعَمَلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَانِ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا من التكبير والتحليل والتحميد. So these are the best days. He said, أفضل أيام الدنيا أيام العشر. The best days of the dunya are these 10 days right here. Right here. They are the best days. And he said, أفضل أيام العشر يوم النحر. And the best day from these 10 days is Sunday, the day of the slaughter or the sacrifice. The day of the slaughter of it is greater than Arafah because of the nafs of the hadith itself. Now, the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, is the best night in the dunya. But these 10 days are the best days in the dunya. The best in the days of Ramadan, and any good deed on these days is better than the good deeds done any other time. So, sister, if you still have days to fast, to make up from Ramadan, these are the days. The scholar of Islam, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, said the reason why these are the greatest days is that these are the only days where all of the arkan of Islam are practiced. These days only. The shahadatain, practice now. The salah, practice now. The zakat, practice now. Many people think zakat is just in Ramadan. That's not true. A person embraced Islam in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. He has money after 1 year. If he waited until Ramadan, it's not a year yet. He doesn't have to pay zakat in Ramadan if he embraces Islam in Dhul-Hijjah. He has to wait until the next Dhul-Hijjah. So some people pray, paying their zakat this month and obviously fasting. People miss their fast from Ramadan. They're making them up in this month. And Al-Hajj is doing these months. So these are the best days. As it relates to the fasting all of the days, there's an authentic hadith that says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam fasted 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And there's another authentic hadith that Aisha said, he never fasted those days. That's authentic and that's authentic. So what do we do? No contradiction. Aisha spoke about what she knew. She didn't know that he did that. And those other people spoke about what they knew. And the one who has knowledge, knowledge is a hujjah. Man arafa hujjah man aman jahala. So if you want to fast all of those days, you can fast all of those days. No, I said that there's an authentic hadith that the Prophet fasted these days, that he wouldn't miss the 10 days of the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and he wouldn't miss Ashura,
Hadith Bid'ah. So if you fast, you're not against anything. You're in accordance to what is bad. You're against what Aisha knew. But there's no one who knows all of what happened and they get everything right except the Prophet. So the person is back there, there's no problem. That's it. Fasting, I disagree with that totally and completely. That's your understanding. I don't know anyone from the ulama of Islam. I don't know anyone from the ulama of Islam took this position as you're saying. But inshallah, you have the right to take that position if you want to. I disagree. Because it's been proven that he made this, then we can do it. As it relates to the issue of khilafa, I take refuge in Allah, Ajajal, A'udhu Bihi, from making istisqa of the importance of the khilafa. I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from making istisqa of the importance of the sharia being established or from jihad or any of these issues. My point that I was trying to make is the khilafa is established when individuals practice the religion and they establish the khilafa within themselves, first and foremost. The khilafa is not established by getting a bullhorn and marching and so forth and so on. The Khilafah is not established if we, Muslims, men and women, collectively. Some of us are not praying. Some of us don't know where Allah is, who Allah is. Recently I read there is a historical event that happened in Germany. The first German professor who became a professor of Islamic studies in Germany, the revert. First time it ever happened, so they had a big program for him. And then when he came out and talked, he's the first Islamic professor. The thing that he said to the people was shocking. He said, although I am the new professor, and this is an historical event, I want you people to know that historically, Muhammad never existed. So when you find out more about his life, how he became and who he became a Muslim with, you come to find out he became a Muslim with people who cursed Abu Bakr and Umar. He became a Muslim with people who thought Aisha was a Zaniya. He became a Muslim with these type of... So when Muslims are having these types of ideas and practices the way we are, then our condition with our rulers is going to be the way it is. That's what I mean. I didn't mean in any stretch of the imagination, any shape, form, or fashion to make this a small issue. The minhaj of the Prophet in making this tahir is for the individuals, individually and collectively, amongst themselves, to change their situation. And not with this, you know, demonstrations and bullhorns and stuff like that. That's what I mean. It's from a couple of years. No, I didn't come here to discuss about my meaning of jihad, but what I can do is I'll leave you my email address and we'll correspond and we'll deal with that as much as you want. I'm talking about jihad of the qitali, jihad of mashru'. That's the jihad I'm talking about. A jihad alladhi yatabadal ilayha dhihn indama tusaf al-kalam. That's what I mean. That jihad that I'm talking about,
the jihad that the hukam and the ulama are behind. That's what I was talking about. As for the jihad and nafs, you don't have no hukam and ulama behind that. Everyone has to make jihad and nafs. The jihad of qital that I was referring to, the jihad that the scholars of Al-Islam and the rulers of the Muslims, as opposed to every Amr, Bakr, and Zayd from the people standing up saying, do this, do that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Is there any more questions from the floor that we can take? Or the last question, the written question that I read out? No? Okay. What does Islam say about the statement of that there is no racism, or there's no races, there's only one race, the human race?
That's not true. I mean, there's only one race. Everyone, as we mentioned, we come from Adam. Adam's wife was created from him, Eve. And from those two spread out in the earth, Allah spread out countless, many men and women. So, in that respect, the race is one. But there are different nations and different tribes. Yeah, even that. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We created you from man and a woman. So from that perspective, everyone's from the same race. But we made you different nations and tribes. So I agree with that statement. Yeah. There's only one race in that way. But then the non-Muslims, they change and they make a different category, and they ask you, what race are you from? And they mean the ethnic background. So there's no mashahas and mustalahat. We're not going to argue with one another, is it fard, is it wajib? No, it's fard, it's wajib. They both are synonyms. They mean the same thing. So once you know what the person is talking about, you'll be able to answer. So if they're meaning of the race, your ethnic background, then they are different ethnic backgrounds. But in terms of the one lineage that we all come from, then we're just one race. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending. Jazakumullah khairan. This is the end of our program for Diversity Week, and inshallah we will keep you informed of any other events coming in the future. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.